I'd like to call to order a special meeting and workshop, City of Shore Acres, City Council, on Monday, October 7th, 2015, at 6 p.m. First order of business is roll call.
Mike Weaver, present.
Rick Moses, present.
Matt Weber, present.
Bob Bunker, present.
Nancy Schnell, present.
Stephen Jones, present.
Good evening, everyone. The first item on the agenda for business is item 2.1, consideration and action to adopt ordinance number 2013-143. Authorizing the mayor to sign an agreement with A&G Contractors LLC for the construction and installation of a water main and fire hydrants on Byway Street. David?
Yeah, I have the city engineer with us this evening to describe the project for you and the recommended bid, and he has the bid packets.
We, of course, think most of y'all are familiar with the project. I mean, we're going from Shore Acres Boulevard over to whatever the last street is.
Fairfield.
Yeah, let me just make sure. Is council familiar with the project that we're referencing here? Does anybody need any background on it? Perfect. Thanks.
Okay.
Jerry, thank you.
And so we opened bids, had four bidders. The lowest bid was from A&G Contractor at $110,035. And then the other three bidders, U.S. Pipe Layers, was $117,663.81. Baca Underground Utilities was $136,160. And A Absolute Plumbing was $203,110. And so we have the two low bidders are basically new companies. Checking out A&G, they have one of their main people has 27 years in the utility construction, and interviewing them, I feel like they will do a good job. So I am recommending them. They listed on their bid form as A ampersand G Contractor, and they were actually getting their LLC at the same time, in which case they are an LLC as A, the letter A, the letter N, the letter G, Contractors LLC. But I think everything checks out, so I recommend that you accept their bid.
Let me ask you this. You said they clearly made it. How new a company is this?
It was?
How new a company is this we're talking about? Are they just now going into existence? I mean, it sounds like the partners in here, are they just now starting up their company?
Yes. I mean, they.
So we are the first real large contract, I take it in?
I would say so, yes. I mean, the people that are doing the work haven't been doing the work. You know,
right.
So just they're not new to
contractors, just basically, like, they're not new, but right. The company is new.
Yes.
And it is an LLC.
Yes. They do have to bond the job. They right. have to have a performance and payment bond. Which, if you're familiar with bonding, the performance bond, you know, if they don't perform, then you would go after their bonding company,
right.
Which, of course, is you don't really want to go that route because it's a drawn-out process and nobody wins. And then there's a payment bond, which if they don't pay a supplier or people working for them or something, then that performance bond can be called upon to pay. So, I mean, that's your guarantee that your job gets done for you know, what you contracted it for.
You said one of these gentlemen, I'm not trying to make this difficult.
No, I understand.
Don't get me wrong, but
I appreciate your question.
I just, for the best interest of the city, you said one of them had like 27 years experience?
Yes.
Did we know who he worked for before?
Who
he was with, what their record was?
I didn't. I asked for some letters of recommendation from them.
Okay. So we did get some.
Well, there again, those I don't put a lot of stock in them because they seem to be more or less relatives. Let's see, they had one from Maria Torres, Economic Construction Inc. Well, she is on behalf of the company and myself, I would like to recommend A&G Contractors. They are an outstanding company to work with. We have not had a problem with timing or workmanship. They complete their projects with professionalism. Her address, the address of this construction company, is, I think, just around the corner to there. It's a residential area. So we've got another recommendation from Garza Underground Utilities, Omar Garza, and which he's the same last name as Angel Garza, but I don't know that there's a relationship there, but I believe there probably is. I'm pleased to submit this recommendation on behalf of A&G Contractor. I've had the opportunity to work with their team many years now on various new and renovation projects throughout the city and state. Alberto Garza has managed many of our projects that have consisted of digging and placing underground lines for us as deep as 20 feet. He is experienced and very knowledgeable with placing water lines, storm lines, sanitary lines, and manholes. A&G has kept up with schedules, pricing, and coordination with our company, and has showed they are highly qualified to handle various projects. So even if they're related, he's relating to the 27 right. years of experience that Alberto has. So then R&S Steel Fabricating Company, they're pleased to submit this recommendation on behalf of A&G Contractor. They've had the opportunity to work with their team many years now on various new and renovation projects throughout the state. So those were the three references they supplied me. So, and based on my interview with them, you know, I mean,
that was my next question. So that was your interview with them.
That I felt like they knew what they were doing and could get the job done.
Do you know anything about the other three candidates in the big corporation?
The other three, U.S. Pipe Layers, he didn't seem to know what he was doing on the bid forms.
Okay.
You know, and he,
well, if he can't bid a job, we
yeah.
that already tells me something right there.
And then Vaca Underground at 136. I mean, they were competitive. I mean, our estimate was 112,000. So the two low bidders were right there around our number. Vaca Underground at 136 wasn't bad, but I really didn't.
Is that 136 or 131? I got 131.
131.
Is what I got. 131.
Yeah, somebody said.
Let me see. Now it should be 136, 160.
It's a typo.
If I have a typo on something.
All right.
And then the last bidder was way out there.
Yeah, he's out of ballpark.
$203,110.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. If you prove it tonight, then we would put the contracts together and then bring them back to the mayor to sign the contract.
Can I see the letter of recommendations again?
Sure.
Let me ask you another question. David, did we go back to these guys for a second proposal? This was just a one round proposal for them.
We can't. It's a sealed bid.
Sealed bid. Okay.
Yeah, it's a sealed bid. It was not illegal for us to do that.
Right.
And we really are bound to take the lowest qualified bidder. So you'd really have to have something to hang your hat on not to take the low bid.
All the scope of work was the same?
Yes.
For my bid?
Yeah, each of the bids were, you know, they had, it was a unit price item.
Okay.
I mean, these are the bid forms. They fill in their price and number for each item.
Okay.
You know, A&G had one miscalculation on there. We had hydromulch seating by the acre, and they had it at $1,000 an acre, I think. And they didn't realize our unit was a half an acre. So they put $2,000 down when they were really bidding $1,000.
Yes. Now let me ask you on A&G, it is $110,000.
Yes, $110,035. And of course, with unit price items, I mean, this isn't a lump sum contract. You know, if they do 10 more feet of 8-inch water line, for instance,
right.
we pay them for what they do, or if they do 10 feet less.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
I guess my question is this going to be taken out of the 12-13 budget allotment of the 150 that was not utilized and spent this last year?
No, we'll have to budget that tonight, put it in the new budget. It's unexpended from the previous. There was $140,000 in the prior year budget, I believe. $150,000, and it was coming out of that. So that money is unexpended. So it all nets out to be just the same, but we are now out of that fiscal year, so it will have to be out of this fiscal year.
Didn't we make some discussion about that?
Yeah, it was 150. We took it to 75.
Okay.
And so then it would be this job plus the 75.
Yeah, because
so out of the monies that we came up with from the last workshop, we're proposing to add another $110,000 to the budget?
Yes.
You said the money was available last year but not spent?
Correct.
Okay, so where did that money... How did it show up? Was that money... I'll use the term borrowed, even though that's an incorrect term, probably. But was that money borrowed? You know where I'm going.
No, we don't.
I'd like to be able to... You don't know where I'm going. Interesting.
No.
No, you won't assume. You shouldn't assume. Okay. When that money wasn't spent last year,
mm-hmm.
What type of money was it? Was it money that was being drawn from the reserve and it went back to the reserve?
There's no distinction. All the money is drawn from the reserve. Anything that's in excess of what your revenue was is coming from the reserve. Mm-hmm. And it all goes back into the exact same pot.
Gotcha. Bottom line is, under the way we've been viewing things, this would be a borrow.
Mm-hmm.
So
if it came out of last year's budget, if accounting-wise we could book it last year, and at the end of this coming year, versus doing it in this year, your numbers come out exactly the same. You won't have spent any more money.
I follow you because last year was... I won't go there. No, I mean, I was there last year, so that's cool. Okay. So this is that. Is this what gets us up to? No, this is B. Okay. Yeah. Tell me again where this is taking us.
The pipeline.
Yeah.
This is not the additional water line that's running from down. I believe it was Fairfield. This is not that project.
Okay. So this isn't associated with the 75.
Correct.
Yeah. That's why I wanted to make sure that council was clear exactly what this project entails.
Once we started talking money, I just wanted to make sure that I wasn't a shell game.
Yes, as many questions as necessary to satisfy your decision making mm-hmm. process is highly encouraged. Now the necessity for this.
So
you made
a comment. The $75,000 that we put in this year's budget
mm-hmm.
is a different project.
Yes,
correct.
And we've already started.
Yes, this project started in last fiscal cycle.
It was the last one.
When the contractor was redoing the road here is when the necessity for the replacement of that water line became known. And unfortunately, the bid package did not come out and was not presented to end in last year.
How far is this project going to take this water line?
From Byway here all the way down Byway to Fairfield.
It's replacing an existing line
mm-hmm.
that's in conflict with the drainage. We can't do the storm drainage because the line that's there is in the way.
Your water line as it is now does not meet the state requirements either because it's too shallow. Your water lines are supposed to be a minimum of 3 feet deep, and it's exposed in portions of the bottom of the ditch.
Is that exposed, just out of curiosity, is that exposed because of erosion? Or just they didn't bury it enough? I'm just curious.
it wasn't deep enough to begin. I mean, I'm sure there's lines all over town that don't meet the
requirement. Hell, we're fighting them out Mayu from Mayu Forest, yeah. That's for sure.
But this one in particular is, you know, they can't finish the drainage work on the road job because of where the water line is.
So in essence, basically everything that we took a knife to last week, basically, just
either a bigger knife or...
Actually, that's not true.
Yeah.
It is exactly the
same. No, I understand what you're saying, but I'm looking at a different venue, I guess. I guess we're looking at a different way. I understand what you're saying. I totally understand that. That's not a problem. We'll leave it for another discussion. I'll move forward. Someone else.
And also, let me clarify, too. Remember when they did, for example, Baywood, and they cut the ditches deeper? Okay. That's also a product of why this line is now shallow, is that when we did byway paving, drainage went with that, and they cut the ditches deeper to improve the drainage and wider, and it has impacted the line, and the line is completely physically in the way. They couldn't finish that project, and they're not going to finish that project because we're not going to be able to get the line in time. So they're going to leave the materials, and we're going to have to pay to finish the drainage on that side of the street where the water line's at.
Well, either way, no matter what, it's got to get done.
The advantage is now it will be a much larger line. It is part of our long-range plan of upgrade. It will tie into a brand-new line that's getting put in on Schroeder's Boulevard, provide three additional new hydrants, fire hydrants, so it will improve firefighting capacity. And so there's a lot of pluses to that line.
Are there any further questions concerning?
I'm just looking at the difference between the $75,000 we already have budgeted. Now I'm with you, because I mean, I know our heads are in a different place. But the difference between that 110 bid is $35,035. And we've got 150 that was budgeted. Nothing was spent. Projected end of year was 125,000, but nothing was spent. And so now we're looking at this 110. So then the thing is, being that it's been a deficit budget, it really doesn't matter to me because it's still dipping into the coffers. Now we've got an exposed water line. I'm sure it's in great shape. I mean, I guess we've got to do it, but that just means we get to sit here and cut something else.
Well, okay, so I'm in part when I think about those coffers and I think about that amount of money, I think that there's going to be a big chunk that we're going to need to spend money on, you know, with the water tower. I'm going to ask, how much is in the reserve? How much is in the reserve now? It's hard to say because we're forming a budget.
You haven't got a budget. But in round numbers,
yes.
$1 million.
$1 million, and we should have 3 to 6 months operating expense.
That's correct.
And
that would
6 months, well, 6 months operating is how much? Roundabout 600.
About 600.
600. Mm-hmm. Okay, so there's 400,000. Here's what I'm thinking, and it's a longer term. It's like if we could be adding to that, and we could get that up to 500, or we could add 100,000 a year to it. I don't know, you know, something. That's where we take our money to get the water tower. We know we're going to have $1 million thing coming up. Spend, you know, save up for it. Take 400, 500,000 going towards the water tower, and then we have a much smaller, if we have to take, however we finance the rest of that, it's much more palatable. So I don't think cut into that. I think that reserve is there for a big catastrophe or a very large expense, and we have one coming up. We wouldn't be cutting into our 6 months, which is good. I think we preserve that 6 months for an emergency, but the remaining amount I'd like to preserve as much as possible for a very large expense that we know is coming up.
Well, that's
up.
More of a budget item. This is more of
Right.
And that is, but I'm saying that in the larger scope of things so that we, and the reason for that context, I know it's going to be debated far down the line, but it's to say,
we should be preserving that extra amount as much as possible and being fiscally responsible now, because we know something big is coming up. So yes, we've got to look at considering that 75 that we had reserved. Is that really necessary? If you were to weigh out that $75,000 job that gets us up to that bayou versus this, well, this is going to win, right? If we have to choose as far as projects. Mm-hmm. And I think that's, Nancy and Rick, what you were going at is saying that might be what we have to trade out. And then you're saying look for another 35 to balance. Okay.
Are there any other questions or concerns at this time concerning ordinance number 2013-143? If you're not appearing, I'll certainly entertain a motion at this time.
Kind of sticks in your throat, doesn't it?
Hitting on the back, Mike, real quick. I'll make a motion to go ahead and approve A&G contract with a new expansion plan for $110,000, and I'm happy about it, but I'll make a motion.
Is there a second?
That'll hit me on the back, too. I'll second it.
We have motions and properly seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion carries. Next item on the agenda is item 3.0, workshop. 3.1, discussion consideration to amend and propose the general fund utility fund operating budget for fiscal year 2013-2014.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here.
You're welcome.
And now, we open up the discussion for further amendments to the proposed budget. Who would like to start? I was just going to say, Nancy, I believe you're the one who had mentioned that you had wanted to make some changes, so I'll go ahead and...
Well, I asked for us to be here, first of all, because we did make a lot of cuts last time we met, and I figured it would be a good opportunity for the five of us to be able to get together, make sure that the cuts that we requested are reflected accurately, and then also to be able to have further discussion. We had a great first pass, but, you know, we did a good job. But if you sit here and look, we're still very heavily deficit spending in this budget. And I was hoping that, you know, y'all would get an opportunity to see that reflected. We're still very much deficit spending. What just happened is going to take a little bit of action, if we so choose, here this evening. But I go back again to what I have said, and that we are going to have to make some far more difficult cuts. I would question the rationale of giving a 2% cost of living increase when we are spending on still almost $500,000 in deficit this year after making $400,000 in cuts. I question that rationale very seriously. I also question a public works / park / water department whose budget has gone from $120,000 in 2008 to over $250,000 this year. That's a lot in just a few years. And with what extra benefit? So, you know, I think we're going to have to make some cuts. I know we're going to have to. We may not be able to sit here and zero budget this out, but just the numbers I ran, and this was just on wages and overtime only, and this is excluding our parks gentleman, Mr. Ingram, that went from $13.91 upon hiring to $18.39 in this year's budget, and also Mr. Louise, who was hired on at $16 an hour and went up to $18.39 because I didn't feel like calculating that. But just the 2% for wages and overtime alone on the remaining employees it applies to was over $12,000. And if you add in on the the way that that is going to affect their Social Security. And then still not kind of, I'm not understanding why we're paying TMRS and Social Security. So, I mean, do we pay employees two types of retirement funds here? Because that doesn't really make sense either. But, you know, just that 2% is a little bit. But we're going to have to do something. And this is my thing. Everybody says we can't do it this year. Unless somebody knows of some sort of magic property value increase fairy, or like there's going to be a couple of big $10 million homes built that will help increase our revenues, or, you know, the budget reversal, you know, general fund fairy is going to come deliver something, we're going to find ourselves in the same position next year, except where we're going to have already spent another $500,000 of our reserves. And we're going to be facing the same thing, but we're going to be a year closer to trying to figure out how to pay for that water tower. And if we don't sit here, it's going to be the same conversation that we're having. We can trim fluff and a little bit of fat here and there all day long, but if we don't make some of these hard decisions, we're going to be here again with less money and not necessarily less services, but definitely with less money. And doing some research, you know, a lot of our public works personnel, they're making about 24% more than our neighbors in LaPorte. And they have businesses that have special needs them. So, you know, I'm just having, I really need us to look at this again. And it's not going to be popular. No one burned my house down yet. You should probably be okay. But as the budget stands right now, the way I'm calculating it out, between utility and general fund, we're still 22% of the budget is being financed by reserves. And that is an unacceptable number to me. And it will continue to be.
David, could you explain how the utilities are being subsidized by that reserve as well?
Yeah, it's an enterprise fund. It should be collecting a rate that pays for the service. And it's not. We've not done a utility rate adjustment in a number of years. We were due for one when Ike came along, and then we went the other direction, and we used reserves to subsidize substantially for a year, and then we cut it in half the next year, and then we've made no adjustments since.
See, well, what can you show us where that appears in the budget as it stands, please?
Sure. If you go to... UF1.
That's probably going to be a less popular suggestion.
300.
Nobody's burning my house down yet either.
Yeah.
This is where thinking things like the recycling. We've got 10 to 15% of the people that want to recycle. But if we were paying for that, that same money could start going and making this, you know, to go towards the water and start making it, you know, in the right direction, of course. Sustaining itself.
You made a statement that after Ike, we were due for a utility increase. We waived that increase. In fact, we cut it in half.
No, what we did is we gave, it was $26 or $24 a month credit on all the utility bills for a year. And then the following year, we went, so it was $24.68 a month. And then the following year, we cut that in half, and we gave a credit of $12 and,
okay,
and 34 cents a month.
Cut the credit, nothing.
Right. And so we had...
What was the rate of the... You said we were due a utility fund revenue increase.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming this is water fees.
Water and sewer and trash, yes.
And what was that? What percentage was we were looking at back then?
Well, we were due to do the calculation, and it had not been done, so the new rate had not been calculated. The new rate had not been calculated.
What exact rate do we pay now?
Well, I would have to go get the schedule.
But would another way of looking at it say we would need about a $30 a month increase in general to get it up to about break even?
I mean, you can see what your water sales are here and your wastewater. We're collecting $375,000 on those two, and then the trash collection is another $83,000. So you're coming pretty close to... know, 400 and something thousand, and then we're adding another 316,000 from reserve. So, you know, if we were going to in one fell swoop, and keep in mind, to my knowledge, in the last decade plus, the city has always subsidized utility rates here, and the reason that we subsidized utility rates is strictly political. It's not financial. It is that the tendency is to compare what a resident pays here for residential service to what LaPorte pays for residential service. LaPorte has the advantage of having commercial users who subsidize their residential rate. We can't get the yacht club to subsidize all of our residential rates. And so, as a result, we've not been this far out of adjustment to where it would take a 50% or 40% increase in our rates for us to break even.
I guess one of my questions was on 49, there on UF1, 49.99.2.
Mm-hmm.
That money, you take that, I have a different number, but I had 321.877.35, but whatever, it's close enough. But then that goes back into the general fund, correct?
No, that's coming from unbudgeted funds for the prior year. So that's from your reserve. That's a revenue. That's where the shortfall is made up.
And then the difference between the two is what goes back to the general fund. From the utility fund.
No, there is a transfer for services of $146,000 that the utility fund pays for the use of this building and the people in this building and those services that support sending out utility bills and answering the phone and doing the mailings from here, overhead expense. But that's for a cost of service. The overall cost of running your utilities, the water, trash, sewer, is $800,000 a year. And you're bringing in revenue of that's short by $316,000 a year.
So, if we were to try to balance this budget, we need to cut $316,000 more, or produce that much more in revenue.
Or a combination of the two. That's correct.
I just wanted you folks to understand, I mean, because I did hear a comment that at least we're not deficit spending last week, and I was like, yeah, but we are. So I wanted us to be able to take another pass at this.
Well, think about this. This is it's not going to be an overnight fix, and that's what's bad. But it didn't happen overnight either.
I keep getting these emails and people keep comparing this year's budget to 2008. Well, 6 years ago, you know, we can't go back in time.
No, we can't.
Okay, and it got this way in 6 years. We're not going to fix it in 1 year. I'm sorry.
Well, and that's, you know, I don't mind taking another look at it, but there's...
Well, here's my thing, though. You can see where it got out of control in just a couple of years. And so there's nothing that says we can't rein it in even more in this one.
No, I agree with you there. But it's almost, I'm not worried about political suicide. That doesn't affect me. Just, I do this because I love it. But, you know, if I treated this like my business, the bottom line, I've probably been out of business a long time.
Exactly.
But the thing about it is that we have to look at this. And you get to too wild with that eraser, we'll find out you're going to run into another problem later on. So we have to be very cautious as we go through this and look at this. But like Mike said, it isn't going to be, we're not going to fix this budget on this go around as hard as we want to. We're going to make a good dent in it. But don't be expecting miracles, because it took some time to mess this thing up.
Now, I'm not saying Oldie, well, there's some mistakes made here. So, with that, I mean, we know the problem. Give us your solution first, then we start from there.
Well, I mean, I think that there needs to be someone that is going to be that's funded under our proprietary fund that covers the water sewer parks. I think somebody. We've gone, and you can sit there and go back to that, but we've gone, I mean, we only had 7 full-time people in 11-12, and now we've got 8, and then we keep hiring. And then another example, though, when you're sitting there hiring someone in, and I have the job description as it was posted here for this last time, it was April 4th, $13.91 an hour. There's no one budgeted in at $13.91 an hour. There's a couple of folks that have gone from $13.91 to $18 plus, and then $16 plus. So,
increases due to certifications that they were.
Doesn't matter. That is.
Well, it does. I mean, if we promise them raises based on their certification.
I don't think you hire people that way, and that is a crazy increase. It's over $5 an hour, almost $5 an hour.
Well, if you're bringing somebody up that. You know, you hired on at $13.91, and he's a heavy equipment operator, and you know, that pay is much different than just a worker bee pay.
Correct.
Then you're going to bring him up to that, so you don't have to hire somebody for $22 an hour later.
But we've got we're overstaffed in that area.
I get it.
And
I understand all
that.
And I don't know where the general fund ferry comes from, but I also don't know where the worker bee ferry comes from. Just last week, somebody was talking about putting on a night crew. Now we're wanting to cut somebody from that department. The cuts we made last week, we can see and we know the impact. We're not going to get them two police cars. We're not going to do the extra ditches. We're not going to do the pavement. Those cuts we see and we know the impact. When you cut an employee, it's an exponential trickle-down effect labor-wise. Overtime comes in.
I still don't know what our parks guy does. We've got a parks guy. We're paying somebody $28,000 to mow the city.
What does our parks guy do, David?
Our parks position has been expanded to do the mowing. We purchased a boom mower. And we used to boom mow about 4 times a year. And then there was an outcry for more boom mowing. And to the extent that we put our other mower into service, and it just wasn't up to the task. We had to replace that mower. Okay. That's a capital purchase. That's part of what eroded our reserve. You know, we bought a big ticket item. We put the mower out there. Now we have a mower that's up to the task, but it doesn't run itself.
Correct.
And when we started mowing ditches, then people wanted more ditches mowed and wanted more mowed more often. Part of that was driven by the street work we did, because when we improved the drainage, the ditches got larger and deeper, and it got harder for people to mow them. So it wasn't a real unrealistic expectation that happened, but it's, you know. And so, yeah, we could cut the parks person, and it would not impact our ability to provide services other than mowing, and it would have some other impacts, but that would be the most significant impact.
I'll give you just one example. I've got a 70-plus-year-old man who lives across the street from me. It's as good as gold in his wife's time. I drove up the other day, work, and he's out there with a tractor, pushed me down that ditch, pulling back there, out at 85, 90 degree weather. Bullshit. I don't like that.
Yeah.
He should have to be.
I caught my lawnmower on fire trying to mow.
Well, I'm just saying, I'm just giving an example. That may just, you know, I understand what you're saying, Nancy, totally. I just, but
do you think people need a 2% cost of living?
I will agree with you on that one, because I didn't get a cost of living increase.
I didn't either.
Okay. Cost of living. I can go with you there, and I can support that.
I support that.
I'm not. I don't support firing people. Not right now. We made a big chunk. We took a big chunk out of this budget. And as Bo says, we can see where we're at on this, but as far as firing people. No, I'm not.
So you're willing to deficit spend another year?
Nancy, we've been doing this for 6 years.
Well, that's what I'm telling you about.
I understand that. I understand that, but you're not going to fix this budget and make it a zero deficit budget in 1 year.
We can get a lot closer.
We need revenues is what we need.
Okay. Well, there's not going to be any change. That's what I'm trying to get y'all to understand. I've been doing this long enough. There's not going to be a big cluster of homes come in.
No, we don't have no Timothy Petita can build out there by the shore on the yacht club. I don't have any, I've looked at this thing numerous times and, over and over and over. And, you're right. When it comes down to it, where you're going to see it, where you're going to actually see it, like what we've seen tangible, would be a voice. But, there again, we go back to the, when we had 12, 10, 22% raises, I had figured that out, but that's past. That's one of the things that got us where we are today.
That's what I'm saying. Why can't we go in and fix that?
Because you're taking, speaking for myself, like anyone else to count myself, is that you're slapping that person in the face now and saying, well, you know what? We've got to pop you out of the equation. If he's not doing his job and we're not getting the service for that, is one thing. But I don't know. Personally, what I see is the boom mower. I see the guy mowing all the time. I see these guys. When I leave out at 6 or 7, depending on what time I leave in the mornings, I walk, trucks on the side of the road. I see, that one Dodd. See him up there picking up trash, trying to fix this. I actually see him working. If I saw him sitting up there eating a taco, drinking something, be one of them. But every time I see him, they are working. But I see your point. But I personally, myself, like I said in the last meeting, I made it very clear, and I'll make it very clear so everyone can hear it. I personally don't like going after anyone's job. That's my last resort.
Well, then where else are we going to cut? Let's get busy.
Well,
we got $300,000 more to cut. We're not going to cut people. We're going to have to cut elsewhere.
Yeah, I think.
I think one thing that we need to do, we need to look at our water revenues.
Yeah.
I think we need to increase our.
So you're going to put it on the citizens' back rather than maybe not paying someone that's already overpaid.
We haven't had a water increase in how many years?
How many years has it been?
We were doing 8.
It was
but we'll take somebody's livelihood away.
That's 6 years ago.
So you're looking at 6 years now. I know you may not, but 6 years, there's got to be some increase somewhere. No, we don't want to put that aside. But I'm one of those citizens too, just like you. I pay bills too. I earn my living too. There may, somewhere along the line, you can't just keep going and it stay. So let's say you had none. We're gonna go another 10 years before we decide to raise everybody's water bill a little bit. I'm just not saying I'm not jumping to that. But the thing about it is, we need to look at the whole picture here.
When we started last time we met, we were pulling the contribution for the GF reserve was $389,000. Do y'all remember how much we thought we were taking off of that when we walked away?
$386,000.
I had $375,000 in my head. It was a loose number.
It was going to be $390,000 something, but we increased the police department's maintenance by $4,000 because we're making them keep their cars.
So I'm on page GF2.
So there's another modification as well for the software that we had to.
I haven't made that yet. I have a list. I'm
trying to figure out why 389 only went to 181 on a 391.
One of the big items was that we hadn't talked about it in the workshop. We talked about it at the council meeting and it had not been placed in here, but was the reduction of property tax. And so we went from a revenue of $813 down to $769.
Yeah, I thought that got put in right away. I thought that would have been an easy one to just pop that in the spreadsheet.
It wasn't in there when we had the workshop where you had the $390. So you'd have to add that to the $390 before you start under the cuts.
Okay.
Let me ask you something, John Jones. Look at these numbers. If you were to cut one employee, what would the savings be roughly on top of your head?
Oh, okay.
I want to see the hit number I've got in my head.
I got a number.
I want
a man. Okay. All totaled.
I'm talking insurance and all.
Yeah, all totaled, depending on which employee it was, it would range between 45 and a half. To 57,000, just under 57,000.
and that's an employee making more than an hour.
Now, I can tell you, we won't spend that, because to get that, the employee would have to max out his certification, you know, and max out the overtime, you know, and so are we really going to hit that? No.
So 49.5 would be a realistic number.
Well, again, it depends on which employee it was. I mean,
maybe
there's
about 13 an hour person or so.
Right. Yeah. We don't have
anything. I think you'd be looking at 50,000. Again, it depends on who you hit, and it's your, you know, the more valuable your employee is, the more.
Of course, the cost.
Well, but here's the deal too. When you cut two people, you're going to cut your least value. Who's going to be your least paid? Which means that when you now force overtime, you're forcing overtime at the highest rate you have.
For remedial, potentially remedial work that might be.
That's a trick about exponential to labor services.
What's the lowest paid person we got working in?
$14.19 an hour.
Look around the table.
Yeah.
Yes, all of us. Yeah. Hey, you get a little bit more.
Thank you, Matthew.
Well done.
Well done.
That's public works.
Yeah, $13.91.
Yeah, okay. Well, his proposed is $14.19.
No, his question was what right now, and it's $13.91. We have two employees worth of $13.91.
Okay.
I think we got some reserve officers or part-time officers that make less than that.
$7.25 an hour.
In the utilities department. Yeah.
So.
But we're not paying them. We're not paying their insurance and all that stuff.
So, you know, when you start looking at it.
David, just for posterity's sake, what does it take to readjust the rates and get us closer to a realistic number to the citizens on the adjustment for the utility subsidy?
It is a rate study and an ordinance. If in a city where your rates are fully paying for your cost of service, you would typically hire someone to do a rate study, and they would do a scientific
analysis.
Yeah, and produce you what your right rate would be to hit you on the number. We haven't had the need to spend the money to do that, because we've always landed on a rate that was far below the break even. And so if you know you're below your cost of service delivery, then there's no sense in paying somebody $10,000 to tell you a number that you're never going to use.
Is there any way we can put a number to, if we say, okay, we're going to increase our water fees or utility fees by 5%, what would that gain us?
Sure. If all your utility fees were up by 5%,
it costs more.
Yeah, you've got the 375 number.
Yeah, that's what that number is. It gets, you know, we've not ever, this group not ever talked rates.
I think before going there, because I know where you're going, there's a comment made. So when people look at whether they want to move here or not, I've always heard, oh, Shore Acres, outrageous taxes, you know, high taxes. And then I'm hearing today that people actually compare water bills. I don't know that I would have compared water bills, but okay.
I would
like to know what LaPorte's.
Well, there again,
there's so much larger.
You can't compare.
But
talking apples to oranges.
I see. I moved here in '96.
I
so
went,
I don't know.
I went down
I
that road with the police department budget. Okay, we're paying 35% of our budget for police.
Settle. What I'm getting at is that when people go to look and evaluate whether to move into the city or not, what are they looking at and what do they compare? And you're right, LaPorte's probably not what they compare. Maybe they're comparing against another small city.
Kima, generally.
You know, I'm just trying to get whatever the numbers are that people look at so I can see what we have versus that, just to make sure we're not shooting ourselves in the foot when we do one move or another with anything. It's just, you know, we want citizens to be coming in, and so have a sense for what the competition is, the city competition.
There's still another negative out there that we have to look at this, and that's the downside of what we're talking about here also, is don't forget about Windstorm and all the changes of Mr. Insurance.
Mima.
It's getting ready to slap us all. Mm-hmm. So our citizens, we're all going to take a hickey for that. So we have to, I'm just bringing it up so we don't forget, bear that in mind while we're looking at all this. We have that to deal with. So, you know, we're dealing against a big wall here.
That particular one is very real, and it is going to impact people.
It's going to impact us.
But I'm going to say that is a big sump in Kima, just as hard as it is in here. It's probably equivalent.
Yeah.
So when we're going to compare again, I'd still like to have an idea when I'm considering both the water, and I want it to be, I think I want it to go up. But I'd like to know what the rate is compared to an equivalent city that someone else might be looking at.
Oh, we definitely higher. Can I say that? But how
about we do this? Well, we're running out of time to get the budget done. Mm-hmm.
What if we were to do since we decided you're not doing cost of living at 2%, right. So there we go. What if we were to also increase the water fee just by 2%? Because then it's kind of like a citizen gets all happy. It's like, look, no cost of living increase, so we took. Turned around and there's the revenue to that, so it's actually an exponential growth on a plus.
You know,
I don't want to do it. I think it's the wrong decision. I think we should cut personnel, but obviously that's not going to happen. So.
Well, I will tell you, I have talked to the citizens that have contacted me. There's been a few. They're all about raising something versus cutting people. Mm-hmm. I mean, everybody's opinion is different. So it's not just everyone out there is saying cut people. Because I will tell you, I've had other people, and this is not people with money. Mm-hmm. This is people that are just everyday working Joes that say, hey, no. Nah. So, I mean, we're going to hear a little bit of everything. I'm sure we all heard.
Well, the thing is how many council meetings of people marched in that door and cried about city services, wanting to make sure that our city services are left intact.
Especially mowing. That has been a big one. If you remember back, I can give you one gentleman's name in particular. He made it very clear multiple times. But that has been a very big thing. But there,
I can answer Mr. Wheeler's question. A 5% increase in the utility bills across the board, trash, sewer, water, will generate over the entire year, with all accounts, $24,158.
That's not a big increase.
And that will impact the average bill $3.35 a month.
$3.35? Most people aren't even going to notice that on their bill.
No, that's not asking, that's not pushing the limit. I mean,
and I'll throw this out there because I'm looking now, we've reduced the tax rate, which we could only go back to effective tax rate, but it just is an interesting contrast. Mayor Pro Tem of Nassau Bay years ago, Dr. Clyde Hess, they shifted and stopped charging people for trash collection, and they increased property tax to pay for trash collection because property tax is deductible on your federal tax. And your utility bill is not. It comes out to be the same dollars. I was just musing that was his logic on that.
That's just a great way to work in. Sometimes you get you.
It is, but that would still be a hard sell.
Yeah.
And what is the savings if we do not increase the payroll by that cost of living across the board?
Give me a second on that.
What did you say, 12 something?
I think that's the kind of thing.
Oh, so are you talking about the 2%?
Yes.
It's 12,504, and that's just wages. That is not anything with right. The Social Security and the TMRS that we pay into and the unemployment tax. It's $12,504.81. And then, I'm guessing you can probably add, I don't know what kind of percent to that. I would say it probably is about $120,000 total. And then that is not touching, though, Mr. Ingram, that's going from 1391 to 1839, nor Mr. Ruiz, because that's going $16 to 1839. That's a whole other can of worms. Because that's a pretty good pay raise.
That would save about $16,500, including Social Security and retirement.
All of it? How much?
$16,562. And again, you know, you have to draw a line somewhere. So that's if someone made the maximum amount we pay for a position, and they worked all the hours, because including all the overtime hours. So it's kind of a maximized savings. And then I took your 7.62% Social Security and the 4.55 TMRS.
And
you would also have an insurance cost above that, but I figure that some of that's going to net out, because you're not going to work all those hours, and you're also not going to earn all of the certification pay. So you're in that ballpark.
The workers are hired in, the last couple that we hired at the 1391, I asked you to give me the postings as they were. So they get certification pay automatically. And is that just something that, I know a lot of cities do, but... And then longevity pay. How long do you have to work somewhere before you consider to be eligible for that? Because I'm seeing that Mr. Ingram is already getting, or in this next budget, he's budgeted for longevity pay.
Well, let me see.
To the tune of, well, and so is Mr. Griffin. And is that hourly?
No, let me see what you're looking at. It's $8.
It's longevity rate. $8 for Mr. Ingram.
Ingram is getting zero, where it says annual longevity, zero. Andre Griffin, annual longevity, zero.
Okay, so it's just the rate is showing, mm-hmm. but they're not getting it.
Mr. John Ruiz, okay. Longevity pay, zero.
The Nancy was asking when that longevity pay kicks in.
When you have 1 year of service on the first payday in November. So if you don't have a year's service on that day, you're not eligible yet. And then thereafter, on that payday, you get $8 per full month of service in total. And every year you add then 12 months. And what the budget shows here is the existing employees, the rate being $8, what the max, and it says maximum longevity in there, it's providing that employee stays here for that slot. So any employee that leaves, you can have unexpended money because the new employee can't possibly be here long enough to collect anything. But part of the purpose of doing the budget is to know what all your liabilities are, your maximum liabilities.
So we know the cost of living is out, is that correct?
Yeah,
I was objecting to that. So we're all good there.
And what about, this is the other thing. What about the telephone? I mean, we're paying people awfully well.
And what page is that on?
Oh, look at every single person. Cops, Newman 420, Cantu 360, Harrison 360, Takey 360, Falsetto 360, Vela 360, Ingram 360, Dodd 360, Griffin 360, Sutton 420, Ruiz 360. Most people have cell phones. Most people have unlimited plans. How big of a city
how
is
much
it?
Is it again?
The purpose behind the telephone allotment, please.
Well, yeah. You do have to have accountability if they're using their phone for service use. I mean, tell us about what you got.
Yeah, the rationale there is two different things. As far as Public Works go, we have no radio system for Public Works. We have no way of contacting them in the field. And so, while we legally can't require them to provide a phone, we incentivize them to have a phone by giving a $30 a month telephone allowance towards their own phone. They're responsible for it. They break it. They drop it in the water. They run over it, they replace it. Our costs are fixed. For the police department, it's a little bit different in that, particularly given the dispatch service that we've had in the past, the officers need to be able to make calls directly to the district attorney or to the hospital or to another officer or to a supervisor that is off the air, that's not on the radio. And so for the same reason, we provide them with a telephone. So that's the police and that's the public works. And then the budget also includes, over the years, it always has, in the 8 years I've been here, one for the city administrator and for the mayor to conduct city business for all the same reasons that there's no radio system.
I do rely on the police because many a time I use my phone and call the DA in the middle of the night. Yes. So I understand that. I mean, I pay my staff $40. So I mean, most of the companies that I deal with, they pay around $40. So $30 to me, just knocking that. I mean, of course, I don't think that would make a dent.
That's a morale. You'll actually do more damage with morale. 30 is a very generous. I mean, it's fine.
Total amount is $4,500. According to this last sheet, the total amount was $4,500 for all employees. That's
A lot of cities provide the phones, and you couldn't provide the phones for that.
I mean, if we had a radio system that was dedicated to ours, it would be a different story.
There would still be an argument made.
We'd be paying that.
Every time you drop it up.
Yeah, and there'd still be an argument to be made for the police department to continue to have telephones for calling CPS and for calling VA. You just can't do that on the radio.
Nope.
How about the $10,000 for the public works building yard? We cut that in half from 20 to 10. We still have 10 in there.
Wasn't that just to do something with the parking lot?
Yeah, and we did. We did cut that from 20 to 10.
Yeah.
Last, not enough. Money. I mean, just asking.
While you're looking at all that, 6230-30 was cut at the last meeting. That's, I believe it's office supplies in the police department. The mayor had cut that by $4,900 prior to our last meeting, and then it was cut another $4,900 at our last meeting. And I just want you to know that the detail didn't show that at the time, but that was for the police department records management software. And if we cut that $4,900, then there will be no software at the police department.
What about 6240-30?
Could I get an understanding of what that meant? That's what I wanted to understand. I needed the information.
I'm sort of talking to myself there. So I apologize.
No worries.
No, I think that the police department needs that software. That's imperative for them to get it through. They'll be behind so far now. They're already behind. I think we've done, in my personal opinion, I think the police department's already had enough damage done to them. Mm-hmm. I think we don't want to hurt. I mean, that's a very important issue. I mean, where at 6240-30, that's our supplies, small equipment.
That was for the radios?
That was for stripes and bars and the new cars that we're not doing.
That was already cut out.
I thought it was for seats and stuff because
their seats are worn. We're asking them to keep the same car.
So that will
fall under that.
Yeah, we went from 27,000 and it was cut back to 12,000, which took out the cost of equipment for the new vehicle. But small equipment is routine replacement of a whole host of things, such as batteries for AEDs that are very expensive, tasers. We'll have components of the video go out or radar. or radios and those small equipment pieces that replace are not inexpensive.
So we can't pull 4,900 or 5,012. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
So we need to put 4,900 back into 6230-30.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
For the software.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I need to go in there. Dave, did you hear that?
I heard it, yeah. I'm actually...
You're looking about it.
I am, yeah. I'm thinking about...
You already know my recommendation, so I'll let you go ahead and figure out exactly where you're going to figure out. I'll come up with all this money. You've got to move back since we had to add some and going to add a little bit more. And we've already agreed. I'm okay with the 5% increase across the board on water because we have not water and all that. We haven't done that in quite some time, and it's not going to be a shell-shock moment to anybody. But and we already agreed no cost of living.
So you're looking at 24,158, you're looking at 16,562 across the board.
They've got a long way to go.
I understand we've got a long way to go, but like, you know, they were saying earlier, it didn't happen overnight.
Yeah, you know, it didn't happen overnight. And the bottom line is, if we're holding a million and we really only need to hold 600, we really do have 400,000 to spend wisely. I just want to make sure we're spending it wisely. And you know, when I'm looking at the ceiling, I'm thinking...
You're looking at the bottom of the water tower, aren't you?
Well, no, but I could also be thinking, well, if we really need that line, why don't we put both lines in and we just spend that money and we intentionally say we had this money and it was a blessing from God and we're going to spend it wisely to do what the city needs. And don't freak out over thinking, you see, it's if you have a reserve and you spend it intentionally and it's something you really need, then it's a blessing. Now, if you're running a deficit just to try to float and it's a recurring thing year after year, it's flaky. It's flaky and it's wrong. But to spend the money one time on something that's needed.
It's that process, that thought process that got us exactly where we are because it was always one thing that was quote unquote necessary. Trust me.
Well, I can go back and when I'm looking at what happened in the past, I don't like playing in the past. That is done. There was some outrageous things done that I wouldn't agree with at all. I would have been raising all sorts of cane. But those, it's done, it's over. Here we are tonight. What can we do? Myself personally, so to save time speaking to my son, you know, I'm with the 5%. I'm with the cost of living. And I definitely think that we should put that back in the police department for the software because that is our police department. But I don't, at this time, I don't see without hurting us, the trickle effect, I think you're where you need to be at this time. And I know that.
And then you know what we need to do? We need to individually, as a group, watch over the next year. See how things are going. And it not be an intense 30 days of looking at things, but we've looked over it and we've been watching over the year. We're talking. We could be.
I think we need to be. And I think this is a council that is more manageable, savvy, as far as I say that. I mean, we all know what the problem is now. We're all definitely paying attention. It's not just sort of floating out there. We're paying attention to our dollars and cents. And, you know, we've got everybody on this end, David and the mayor, looking at it, paying attention to it. So, I mean, you've got things being watched. I just feel people that I'm sitting here with are going to watch things much closer. But...
When I talk to the department heads and stuff, I basically put them on notice that this is not just Bo saying it's coming to an end. This is what needs to happen. It's coming to an end. We can't keep doing this. And I have no problem sitting here you know, a year from now, doing the same thing, except since we put them on notice, we've watched it, we've learned, we've experienced things. Now, you know, use David's analogy, you know, you're going to get a haircut. Do you want to give it to yourself, or do you want me to give it to you? And I agree with everything that we've done here. We almost made up, you know, the money that we spent an extra on the new deal. But I don't see dropping another $30,000 or $40,000 in the long run, in the big picture, this year, with everything that could happen that we don't know. With the water line, the water treatment plant, everything coming up, we don't know. We may need more overtime. We don't know. We're going to raise the rates, but charge more for less service. You're impacting the builders who want to build here. Now it's going to take them 4 weeks to get a saddle put on a sewer or to get a water line run because we got water lines blowing up everywhere. I mean, I just think right now, we're good, and we go into it. We limp into this year, and attack it again.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that we at least did accomplish right now, we don't have any unfunded projects to dump on the next fiscal year that we wound up with this year. You know, I was when we started into this budget looking at some of the things that, you know, were proposed that weren't funded last year, and now all of a sudden we've got to come up with the funds for it this year. Hopefully we don't do that again.
Well, we need to move that 49. We need to move 49. Okay, this is what I'm going to propose, and it's going to be out of two different. I'm going to propose that we move $4,900 out of the 628050. For public works facilities, that we've got 10,000 laying around in there for paving their parking lot, and we'll move that to the police department for their software. That way, if they got a really big pothole, that what was left in there should at least find some gravel.
What was done with the gravel that was ground up from the street paving? Was that all dumped down there?
No, they called it off. The contractor got that at head value.
Mm-hmm. There was a parking lot.
Yeah, that's something else in the future I would like to see. Is next time we have a contractor come in here, if they break water pipes, you break it, you bought it. Because the way that the contracts have been written, this last go around, there was no incentive for them not, because we didn't have proper mapping.
You'll pay so much more for it.
No proper mapping, though, and it's like we don't know where the water line is. Oh, okay, geyser. Well, I found it, and then our public works guys are out there, and we're buying and spending our dollars.
Well, I agree with the polls are doing that. So,
is everybody else okay with moving that from the?
No, it's really not moving. It's just cutting.
It's just cutting.
Let me find it here. And it is the $10,000 that's in there for their yard, and you're cutting that to what?
Cutting the $4,900.
Taking the $4,900 out.
The software at the police department.
So you're leaving that at $5,100.
I'm good with that, Nancy.
And Nancy, I appreciate, you know, speaking for myself, what you did and what you're going. I totally understand where you're going. I have a hard time cutting personnel, but you know, I think that the citizens for 6 years haven't had an increase. 5% at 335 is not something I think is detrimental, in my opinion. I know somebody's going to disagree with that, so we're going to say we don't fix that. I'm sorry, but I mean, somewhere along there has to be a line now. What we have to do, we have to do.
Not like we're knocking them over the head with 20 or 30%.
You know, if it's any consolation, we didn't get here overnight. We won't get out overnight, but we are going to make, and I think we've done a very good job of making a dent on it, no doubt. But I'm sure there's always somebody with an
error. I don't know that we've addressed the 110, the extra 110 yet, and the 75. So we've got two high-dollar pipes lines that we need to discuss. And
I'm not saying necessarily next to either one. If there's real value in those or something, and you can convince me that it should come out of that, I just don't want to ever go under that $600K for the 6 months.
That's 6902-70. What we're talking about currently sits at $75,000.
That was to get a line to the bayou.
It was right. to do two
it's
projects.
It's heading towards the yacht club.
It was two projects. It was to bore under Shoreacres Boulevard to provide water to South Country Club. We've already laid the main on the south side, mm-hmm. and so it ties into that existing. We've already put the main in and a fire hydrant, mm-hmm. which are sitting there dry until we can get boring done.
Okay.
And then extend from, you're right, Shoreacre, from Oakdale and Sunrise going east to the bayou.
Now that run, Oakdale east, doesn't give us any practical value in itself. It's just heading in the right direction for a future realized benefit.
It would bring water to the hydrant that sits at the corner today where the Meehans are at Brookside and Oakdale.
Okay.
Which
is that a dry hydrant right now?
No, it's not a dry hydrant, but it's an under capacity hydrant.
Okay.
And, you know, those hydrants, we look at the 600-foot service area.
Mm-hmm.
So that brings us, that hydrant right there allows us to get to Shoreacre Circle, to Shoreacre Boulevard.
So it's a big deal.
It is.
Okay, so let's... So we do that one. That's not, in my mind, that's okay. All right.
So if you were, you know, preserve the 75 and then this byway line, then the new number would be 196,000.
Let me pull that check out.
It's not as wanton spending as you think.
No, no.
It really isn't. It's not the mentality that... It's not the same as... It's not wanton.
It's all about whose house is on fire.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have to worry about it, then it's not wisely spent. If your house is one that's
ours caught on fire in the 80s, and it's really bad water pressure down there on that end, but I'm not worried about it. I'm not going to sit there and write pain about it. That's why I have insurance.
Everybody that lives here is entitled to equal, and we've got to look at it. I mean, I just told them.
Well, then we need to come up with the thing, and we need to cut one of those public works folks.
Why do you keep going after public works? Why don't we go after a police officer?
Because we've already cut one of them.
No, we just didn't
hire one.
Well, he was willing to come back in full time. But we've got six officers full time now working 24 hours, 7 days a week. That's a little bit different than public works, since we're not doing shift work. But, you know, I don't know where we're going to get that extra money.
She's at 176?
196.
We'll right back at that number. But we're not at 600 either. So...
Well, why are we at 196? We already had the 75 in there for the first project.
It's 121 for the byway line. That's the $110,000 bid price and 10% contingency because it is a by-the-yard contract, and we will have to pay the contractor for whatever he puts in there.
And it was at 150 originally?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Knocked down to 75.
Mm-hmm. With the idea that we'll take that line as far as 75,000.
Through go.
And take us.
Make it, do it in 2 years.
We didn't say completed.
That's correct.
We'd save it. And that was the idea.
So hook up to the drive, hook up to the drive fire hydrant, and don't run east.
Well, that would be done first.
Right. Yeah. Because it's all in the way. But still, you do that, maybe in stop. You know, with 75 to do that and run east, one way is to just
We had talked about that. We take that line as far as $75,000 to take it.
Right. What I'm saying is we could also just take it as far as 30,000, whatever, to get it to the one dry fire hydrant. We could do that if we're not comfortable spending 196.
I'm not.
One way to get it going back in that direction to probably drop 40 or whatever, 40, 50K, whatever it was we would have spent to start moving it east. Do you have a sense of how much of the 70, how much is needed just to get to the one dry hydrant?
Lazy. Yeah.
I think so. If it is, there's an economy of scale there. We were going to use the same contractor doing both. So it runs up a little more.
What I'm talking about is space.
Yeah. Right.
Okay.
You're right on, Steve. Right.
So I'm
you're on.
I'm going to hear. Okay.
Yeah. And then this project could happen. Could play out just like the byway project did. The byway project was budgeted to happen last fiscal year. The contractor was supposed to start on this end of town so that we would identify what we needed to do and how much it was going to cost us. But there were conflicts with Centerpoint Gas, and so he went to the other end, and this was one of the last streets done, and it happened late in our fiscal year, and we didn't get the project done in the fiscal year. We have the same project process with this water main that's going to go from the water plant now to that intersection of Sunrise and Oakdale. We're not putting anything in the ground over there until they get there. Well, that hole is open, and then our contract will pick up right there, and it maximizes our value, and we're not going to put a line in where nothing's at. There can be delays in that project that are unforeseen, and it could hit to where we can't contract the next piece out or be ready to do the next piece, and we roll to another fiscal year. And then we're sitting here looking at the same thing. We'd like to have had this done 8 months ago.
When you said we had $1 million?
Yes, sir.
Just going in years back, how much have we typically had? Like last year, was it $1 million? And it's $1 million this year? Or was it $1,012,000?
No, actually we have had, and I had that sheet last time, I don't know if it has that, that we did erode the last 2 years. But
sure. You know what, I'm going to go back to say that don't freak by the word erode if it was money well spent and it was a one-off as opposed to recurring. Because you know, you want recurring revenue, right? You love recurring revenue. I hate recurring bills. I can't stand them. But I have no problem with a one-time fee. Right. You know? Because it's one time, it was calculated, and it's done. Just don't sock me with recurring. So I want to make sure we're being smart with the recurring.
I just think
and when it's a one-time, we may need
to do have budgeted in.
I think so, too.
Because I think that's what we discussed last time. Let's go as far as 75 grand and get us a method.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we have 110 that we absolutely have to do, don't we? Because we somehow got that 110.
Well, it's 121 now.
Well, 120, yeah, with the contingency, yeah. Right. But that we have to do, yeah?
Yeah.
You might come out of stuff once it's about 75 when you're done this time. But the other next one, yeah. To the table.
Well, that's still spending.
I mean, do 190. Well, I'm saying we just do it. That's what I'm talking about. That's all that you can. That's 75. Okay. So we do the 75 phases?
Yeah.
Everybody's talking about what you're talking about?
I mean, if I understand correctly, maybe not possibly spending 75 at all.
No, correct.
Just get this one done.
We're already on the hook for 120.
Yeah.
That has to be done.
Yeah, that's already started.
You know, there's a philosophy shift that has happened in council over the time I've been here, and I'm sure there's going to be another philosophy shift that's happening now. But when I arrived, one of the things that council visited me with about was that all the maintenance had been indefinitely deferred, and that we had streets that were impassable, and we had water lines that we spent all the time working on because they were always leaking, and we weren't doing anything preventative. And that council made a conscious decision to budget and spend money from the reserve, if it came to that, if we couldn't do it then, to start putting in streets and water lines and fire hydrants and those things. And that's part of where that money went. And on a balance sheet, that money didn't go anywhere because it was all converted into an asset. So we did Westview, and I don't know if anybody ever drove Westview south of Country Club, but it was really not passable if it had rained at all. And then we did Bio in concrete. We did those two streets. And we did lots of water lines. We did water lines from Byway to Old 146 between Meadow Lawn and Forest, between Shady Lawn and Oakdale, between, so blocks and blocks. That was big money that we spent, and we also spent big money on drainage that had just not been done, and we were having flooding problems. So, you know, the pendulum swinging the other direction, that's fine. But I also want to share with you the philosophy that this council may embrace the past didn't. And that was, we had developers who wanted to come in and do projects that would be very beneficial financially to the city, but politically were not. There is a man in California that owns five lots on the extension of Brookside where there is no street. It is a street right of way, city property. All of those properties face Boggy Bio. And he wanted to take those four lots and re-subdivide it and do five high-dollar, zero-lot line patio homes that face the bio and put a private road in there at his own expense, which when you talk about tax dollars per square foot, would have been very good revenue to the city. But the city told him, go away. We had someone in the last year and a half that came and wanted to buy all the properties inside the circle. And it was a really big commercial developer out of Houston and wanted to do high-dollar patio homes in that circle and re-subdivide that from the four lots it was into seven. And we told him, go away. So, you know, you talk about revenue on the other side of this. We have some opportunities. We have people knock on our door all the time that want to do these kinds of projects, which the revenue it generates per square foot is high dollar. And that's a political decision, you know, because if you're just doing it by the pencil, you'd say yes to all those projects. So I recognize that, you know, the council and the Planning and Zoning Commission can do whatever they want to do. But I'm just putting that out there that, you know, we're not...
Well, they were looking at assets, and that was smart, but somebody didn't pay attention to how it was going to affect down the road. It was a tunnel vision thing. I think it wasn't planned out very well. That's what I think. We've had plenty of these meetings, that's for sure, is that you don't want to develop tunnel vision. You want to look at all those options. I assure you, if you come up here and someone says that, I'm going to look at it. I don't know about the rest of the council, but I'll be interested in talking when he talks about that.
Okay.
That brings money to the
table. So bottom line, where we were at 690270 with facilities water distribution, we are going to increase that from the 75,000 to the 121.
That is correct.
But just to the 121.
That is correct.
So we're going to abandon the pipe and hydrant we put in the ground?
No, that's incorrect. No, because we talked about leaving the 75 to go up to that point.
But then we're on the hook for the 120. That we just, and that's just it. I'm not comfortable.
You have coverage for that pipeline going down there now. We have flowing water to the residents down there now.
Correct. Yes, Mike Mahaney.
Well, we're talking two different hydrants here.
Not the right hydrant.
About
way.
The one that is on a brand new line that has no water at all is at the intersection of Center and South Country Club. And we've run the new standard size for us, upgrade from South Country Club north up Center, because we did it with the road project, and it runs up to about where Stan Krause's house is at. And then it stops, because from there it has to be bored to go through the intersection underneath Shore Acres Boulevard all the way over to the north side where it ties into the main. And we didn't want to spend this money the 150 that's in there because we had not got the engineering cost on the byway line. And the byway line was going to take precedence. So everything was just on hold until we found out what this project was.
You do have fire service hydrants, though, to those residents now that is charged. Is that correct?
There is a hydrant down there.
So there is one charged line.
There is one hydrant at Center and South Country Club. And as you drive down to Commissioner Mormon's house, you drive all the way down there, you'll see a hydrant on the left. That's a dead hydrant. It's on a 3-inch line. You can use it for a drinking fountain. And then you just keep on driving to West Country Club, all the way back up to Shoreacres Boulevard. And on the far side of Shoreacres Boulevard is the next hydrant. It is the worst fire coverage we have in the city. I know we talk about the east side all the time, but the South Country Club is the absolute worst.
See, that's where you go and you say, we've got $400,000 to spend wisely for one time every once in a while.
I don't have this one here. You said $75,000, or the cost again, refresh my memory, going down here is how much?
To me, to Mike Mahan.
To Mike Mahan's.
He's got one that's charged.
That one has a live hydrant. It's not part of the upgrade. We'll have an upgraded hydrant that is at Sunrise and Oakdale when we finish the grant project. And then we wanted to extend that. We had 150 in there, and that was to take it all the way down across Boggy Bayou. The most expensive portion of that being going from one side of Boggy Bayou to the other. And so we dropped that to go back to the 75. 75 would let us do that segment and the Shoreacres Boulevard more. If I was going to cut one or the other, I would cut the Oakdale and do that in another go. I would do this, you know, it's because whether it's me or somebody else, there's going to be another council here who is going to look at this council and say, what do you mean they put a hydrant and a pipe in there and never hooked it up? Mm-hmm. And then when a house burns down and somebody sees a brand new hydrant sitting there and no water, we're all going to get beat with a stick.
See, that 75 is not, you know, that 75 isn't making us groan. We were good with it before. It's the 110. Yeah. It's the 110 that we hadn't considered before. This 120. That, yeah, I'm thinking of it as the bid because I read it in my, every time I look at it, I see that number.
Yeah, that
but that's what's.
Yeah.
And that's where we got to go.
Well, correct on that, Mr. Stoll.
We can't drop the projects. It's not too critical.
Right. And we should say, wow, I'm really glad that we have such a good reserve. I don't want to have recurring things nicking at it. And, you know, the vehicles and all those things, we did a very good job last week cutting a lot of things for this year. We're going to have to revisit them next year because you can't cut these cars every year, right? But if we can get on a cycle, maybe a 3-year instead of 2-year or whatever.
So what are we going to write it to, gents, ladies?
It's
got to be the 196.
Is the 196 even worth it?
Yeah.
Well, unless you don't want to do that piece going east. There is an argument to say don't do that one shot.
When you're talking about fire service, that's like police. That's like cutting...
It's not necessary unless it's your house money down.
Yeah.
Insurance or not.
No, was that one going east going to a fire hydrant that's ineffective or just a little bit under pressure?
It's a fire hydrant under capacity. There is a fire
hydrant. Is that the one that you said is like a water drinking?
No.
No, the drinking was that. Right, okay. I just wanted to make sure I got the right
one. I'm going with the 196. What do you want to do,
I mean, this 121 was just a total curveball. It seems like if we do the 196, we're taking care of a really bad area on the west side.
What?
And we're starting to make our way to another bad area. Yeah, I mean.
Why did we get hit with this tonight?
It was budgeted in last year, I guess, right?
Yes.
And it happens. you know, life happened, whatever happened, happened, and it never got spent. So, you know.
It's just, dude, it's just really frustrating that we've gone through 2 months of budget talks and this now pops up a week before.
But it really didn't, in the sense that if you look at the budget that we had in the last workshop and you look at that line item, it showed here end of year projected $125,000, and that was the byway line. And if that had, if it were just 30 days ahead in the schedule, we would have spent that 125.
Yeah.
And we still were looking at the 150 in the next year. I mean, so.
So if that hit spirit, our reserves wouldn't change any. Is the bottom line, if that had. It hadn't, and so it kind of like gets put on our books, and we're like, oh, thanks.
Yeah, it didn't come out last year, so it's coming out this year.
But it's still reserve spending, either way you look at it. Doesn't matter. It's still coming out of the savings account, and that's what I have a problem with. I'm just going to sit here and y'all decide what you want to do. You know where I stand. All we're doing is adding to our deficit.
We know where you stand. Let's go.
I'm tired of adding to our deficit.
We got to have it. It's, like I said, it's too critical to the city.
Steve?
Yeah, I'll look at it as a one-time expense that was needed off of a...
I don't have a say in the matter.
You're talking too much.
196.
196. Oh, boy. Well, you know it's going to burn tomorrow.
So with that modification being made, I get the sense that there is no further discussion this time.
I have one.
We're done.
Well,
do you want me to run over the list of what we have?
Please, I wanted to give council a chance to address any other concerns they may have had before we go through a final rundown.
Yeah, does this 181 from the GF, does that cover the 120? You're not about to add 120 to 181, are you?
I'm sorry.
On GF2, the contribution from the GF reserve of 181K, 182.
Yes.
Are you about to increase that by 120?
Mm-hmm. I'm about to figure out what, well... We've got a mix of utility fund and general fund.
Okay.
I can separate the two out if you want me to separate the two out.
Why is because I would have expected that to... I thought we knocked 375K off, and so I'm surprised to still see 181, so I'm trying to... I'll let you run the final numbers.
Okay, in the general fund... If you look at the 181,925, that drops to 165,925. Actually, I'd have to split it even further. It's not going to drop quite that much. That's the only thing we took out of general fund, because we added 4,900 in the police, and we took 4,900 out of public works, so that's a wash. The only thing we cut in the general fund is the 2% cost of living,
okay,
which is 16,000 across both departments. But clearly, the general fund is the lion's share of that. I mean, the police department is the largest payroll we got.
Okay.
So that will go down. On the public works side, we have added the 121 for the line that's the holdover. And, oops. So that would be then 24. So we're netting out to where we are adding, it's going up $97,000. And for that $97,000, you're getting the two water lines. Are you ready for the recap? Where that comes from?
Unless anybody else has any questions.
I guess so.
Okay, I have. We're going to cut cost of living, take the 2% out, which was all the employees except for myself. We're going to add $4,900 back into the police department to cover their software cost. We're going to take $4,900 out of public works. Capital improvements at the facilities, $4,900, that washes. We're going to put in the budget, which will require separate action, separate from the budget, but we'll put in the budget 5% water and sewer increase. And we're adjusting the $75,000 to include tonight's bid award. So we'll go to 196.
Questions or concerns at this time?
What makes me sad?
No. Very well. Then with another carry, we will stand there. At 7:41.